The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Hey, we're back this morning. I was talking to Al a few minutes ago about the new sheephead rules and regulations. Became effective July the 1st of this year. So now went from 15 fish down to 8 fish per harvester. And the recreational vessel limit of 50 fish per trip per vessel during March and April in Florida waters. And that's the spawning season, so that runs also into federal waters. So, I mean, if you got a whole lot of people on a boat, you know, the 50 fish per trip during limit, of course, that's a that's a lot of fish. But if you got a lot of people on a boat, especially when they go over, like, in the Gulf over there, and they take out a bunch of people, you know, to that reef that they go over there off Cedar Key, I think it is. You know, they get into the fish quite a bit over there, the sheephead. But they're kind of just to kind of go over this stuff. They've kind of, you know, seen the population go down over the years. And that's why they finally, back in April, had decided to, at their April meeting, to go down in the bag limit. It's the same size limit for sheephead. It's just gone down in the bag limit size. I mean, the amount. So you still got 12-inch minimum, which is a real small sheephead to start with anyway. But a 12-inch minimum, and that's with the tail squeezed, of course. But sheephead are very, to me, I mean, they're very good fighters, very good. I just love the way they bite, the way they fight. That's one of the things I just love about them. It's just having that that different type of bite and action that normally you have on any other fish. And that's why a lot of people have, you know, trouble catching them, of course. But there's been more and more people over the years have learned to catch them and learned to catch quite a few of them. So that's why, you know, they've had to change the limits on them and everything trying to do that. I was looking up nutritional facts for sheephead because, you know, of course, I'm starting to eat a lot healthier nowadays and stuff, and I'm eating a lot of fish and chicken instead of, like, you know, steak and pork chops and, you know, no fried fish, stuff like that. I mean, no fried chicken, no fried foods, and, you know, so I'm having to try to, you know, look at different things like that. But it's kind of funny because looking at some of the nutrition facts, they don't do an ounces in the fillet. They just say the serving size is one fillet. So I don't know, you know, if that's a particular, you know, normal size sheephead or what they're talking about for one fillet. I mean, you know, you catch a 10 or 12 pound sheephead, that's a lot bigger fillet than a 13, 14 incher, you know. So, but anyway, they have the calories from fat is 52 and 257 calories total. Total fat is 9% of your daily value. And this is, you know, for a 2,000 calorie diet, which is the normal calorie thing, the nutrition facts they use. But anyway, 9% of total fat, 7% of saturated fat, 40% of cholesterol. So that's the thing I've got to really watch there. Sodium, 7%, potassium, 0, and carbohydrates is 0, dietary fiber, 0, and 0 sugars, of course. But they got the protein is 48.1 grams. So looking at that, I just did not know that the cholesterol was that much in sheephead. Comparatively, you would think the shellfish are a lot more than regular fish in cholesterol, but I guess because of the Sheephead eating barnacles and oysters and clams, and you know, since their main food is shellfish, then I guess that's why their cholesterol is a little higher than normal fish, or a lot higher than normal fish. Excuse me. Been looking at some of the fish facts also, because of the way, you know, that they spawn and all that. They're kind of fractional spawners. What they mean by that is they spawn at different times, and they spawn different amounts. Estimates of spawning frequency are varied, and they range from once per day to once every 20 days. So depending on the size of the fish and all that too, the batch amounts of the females is also widely ranging too. Females caught in inshore waters had a batch of 1,100 to 40,000 eggs, while females captured offshore had 14,000 to 250,000 eggs. Now, that depends, you know, what size the fish are. I mean, a smaller fish is going to have, you know, less eggs in it, of course. But the eggs are buoyant and measure 8.8 millimeters in diameter. So, I mean, that's very small. They hatch after 40 hours in the water temperatures of approximately 77 degrees. The larvae are pelagic and measure about 4.5 millimeters in length. And but anyway, the larvae persist for approximately 30 to 40 days, and then the metamorphosis continue into the juvenile stage, typically at lengths of approximately 0.3 inches, standard length. And then a study in 1989 reported growth rates in both larvae and juveniles of Tampa Bay, Florida, as approximately 20 millimeters per day. That's how much they grow. However, a study by another company back in 1960 suggests a somewhat faster growth rate, and now they're like 0.35 millimeters per day. And so anyway, the total lengths for the young of the year sheephead in Tampa Bay during June and August. Now, that's some pretty hot months, and they, you know, as far as water temperature goes, and of course we always, you know, target the sheephead in the cooler months here, although we do catch them during the summer and have caught quite a few of them up in the creeks and stuff at times. But anyway, they apparently mature at somewhat younger ages in Louisiana, where essentially all the males older than age 2 and females over age 1 were found to be mature enough to spawn. So it's usually spawning occurs in the late winter, early spring in the coastal mid-Atlantic, South Atlantic, and Gulf of Mexico off Louisiana. And so we have noticed a lot of times over here that they can spawn all the way from February through late April. And in Georgia, spawning occurs primarily in April. So they only have 1 month of spawning compared to our, you know, it's like 3 months of spawning. And though some evidence is put forward that suggests spawning may occur in estuaries, it's generally believed that sheephead spawn in the near shore and offshore waters of the continental shelf. Evidence shows that females with hydrated, octals, and post-ovulatory females are more commonly collected from near shore waters than from estuaries during the spawning season. So that's, you know, for what I've noticed over the, you know, years and years that I've been fishing for them, our spawning here can even occur sometimes in January, and I think that has a lot to do with water temperature. So just some interesting facts about sheephead, and because that's getting to be the time that I'm fixing to start, of course, targeting them, and a lot more, I say. I mean, I always like to target sheephead, no matter what time of the year, but I like to target them more whenever you have, you know, more time for them to actually, more bite, I should say, more action on them, you know, which is generally, about the end of September all the way through April. So looking forward to that time coming too. and I'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Hey boaters, are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterward? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423, and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And I'm back, and I want to remind everybody the ferry is closed. The Mayport Ferry is closed from September the 4th through October the 31st. So they're, dredging out in front of it right now and up in it. They're replacing the terminal bridges that gets you from the land to the ferry itself, and I'm performing required maintenance on the ferry, which is over there at the shipyard right now up in dry dock. Anyway, it's supposed to be this phase three construction started, where they were doing different things on it back in September 2017. But now they've got it where they're closing it because they actually have to get in there and replace the terminal bridges. So, they can't get cars onto it for then. So they got the ferry over there in Sisters Creek, at the mouth of Sisters Creek at the shipyard up in dry dock. But it will be back open, hopefully, October the 31st, Halloween Day. So we look forward to that. I know a lot of people do, being able to use that ferry like that. The triple tail also has changed, from a minimum of 15 inches to 18 inches, and that runs all the way into federal waters also. But people are not catching triple tail right now except by accident, so to speak. But that'll be coming up in springtime again. I don't know if we'll see a big run. I don't think we'll see a big run of them, where they come back down in the fall like normal. And the only reason I'm not looking for a big run of them is just because we got still so much fresh water in the river. It's just been unbelievable how much fresh water is in that river, and we just keep getting rains and rains and rains. But hopefully, that's all going to change, and our water temperature is going to start changing and all. So, hopefully we'll see quite a bit of that happening. And, when you're seeing the different things happen like that, the different barometer pressure and all that, a lot of times you'll see the falling air pressure causes pain in, like, the bird's ears. So if you see birds are flying low to the ground, it almost always means a thunderstorm is coming. So, you know, you can look at that and see if, you know, you can kind of tell and keep your eyes out on what's going on, especially when you're on that water. Let's get Bill on this morning. Morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing, sir?
Well, not too bad. Enjoyed the story you told about casting in front of the trout, getting the guys to go behind you.
And, you know, when you do things like that, and, I mean, that was several years ago. And I did it for, I don't know, almost a month, I guess, you know, off and on. I mean, you know, when we fish for trout, of course. But, you know, in a little bit, like, deeper water and all that in the main river. But, you know, it's just something that, I don't know, I just forgot to do it. I haven't done it in probably 2 or 3 years. Hmm. And I need to get back into doing that because, of course, I haven't been. See, the one thing is when you're using, as I was talking about, when you're using top waters, you see that short strike. You know, you see that boil or whatever.
Right.
And I haven't been using top waters. I mean, you know, you really have to have people that know how to, you know, walk the dog and stuff to use the top waters to make it work perfectly. But, you know, whenever I could do that and I could, you know, use the lure itself and then get them to throw the plastics, that's kind of a neat situation. Because, you know, if you work the lure all the way to the boat and you don't see anything, you know, you're not wearing the people's arms out by casting and casting and casting. You know, they only cast when you see that swirl, that boil behind the lure.
Yeah, we went out yesterday. My daughter's whining her elbow's sore.
What was y'all using, lures?
Actually, I got a crab.
Oh, okay.
To no avail. I fed him to the little fishes and the crabs, the other crabs.
Yeah.
And I got some mud minnows because I was hell-bent to catch a flounder, which we did not. But we caught 7 fish, a couple little trout. Got a ladyfish, got a jack. She caught all of them. She got 7 fish. I didn't get anything. And then it was like, geez, Dad, I'm catching all the fish. I'm thinking, yeah, you're not driving the boat. You're not taking, you know, putting the hooks back on. You're not. It's like I was ready to throw her overboard.
I know. Yeah. I know. That's when people, you know, they like to brag when they beat the captain in catching fish or something, you know,
oh,
because
Lord.
Usually I'm throwing their poles out or, you know, or something like that, you know.
And, sure.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. But
she
take the boat.
Crab pot. She hooked a crab pot 3 times.
Yeah. And that's one thing you want to be careful. You want to just pop that line off if it don't come off easy, you know, because you go touching
we
those floats.
Got it.
That's a big fine if you touch those floats, you know.
Really? I didn't know that. We went and got my, I'm not giving up a 75-cent lure. I don't care how long they put me in jail.
Well, it's $5,000 plus 6 months in jail.
No kidding.
Yeah. The crabbers have been robbed so many times, you know, over the years that they got the legislature to pass some stiff penalties, you know. But if we get a jig caught on it, I just tell them this: either, you know, pull it until it either comes off or breaks the line, one or the other. You know, I hate to do that to crabbers because they're, you know, they're trying to mess with the line and all that. But I just try to keep away from them. But it's funny you mentioned that about catching all the fish. This week, I told my wife I wanted to see how I do by, you know, launching the boat and you know, going out, and then also, you know, that's not just the fishing trip, but getting home and spending hour and a half cleaning the boat and all that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I took the boat out one day this week. I got to fish with some friends of mine yesterday, so that was fun. But the other day, I had one nice red on, but, you know, I didn't fish like as much as I wanted to, you know. And my wife and friend of ours from Tennessee, of course, fished, and, you know, they caught several reds and, my wife even at one point just threw the line out the back and stuck in the pole holder, you know, and it was just a mud minnow. And she goes up there and, you know, gets her drink and a pack of crackers, you know, and all of a sudden I turn around and look and the pole's doubled over, you know, and she hooks this fish in the belly, you know, it was a jack, but I mean, she hooked him in the belly, pulls him in. I'm like,
what
you know,
mean he hooked himself.
Yeah. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, here I can't catch a fish, you know. She could just, you know, catch one in the belly or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. She but we got to eat some fresh redfish that night. That was good, night before last.
Well, good.
Can't eat them fried anymore, but we had them otherwise, you know. So,
I have a. I'll send you the recipe for baking them.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. Yeah, and it's pretty dang good. I use the sriracha cashews and crush them up and sprinkle them over the top and put salad dressing on. Super easy. Wham bam. And you throw that filet in and a piece of tinfoil and. But maybe it'll fit your dietary needs.
Oh yeah, if it's not fried, then and doesn't have a lot of fat in it, and nuts aren't, you know, they got fat in them, but they're good for you too. It was funny, we was talking about how you describing how good it sounds, and poor Alan in there, he hadn't had nothing to eat yet this morning. He was like, everybody's posting food pictures this morning.
Yeah, I know. Well, if you guys are closer, there's a Colombian bakery off of Bay Meadows, and it's mighty good, but it's just too far away, and I got stuff to do today. But just wanted to share that my daughter finally, you know, the problems we've been having, it's been just terrible, terrible problems, and now she's actually paying attention, fishing and catching fish and popping off and bragging about it. So, but it's pretty good, even though I didn't catch anything. It was a pretty good day yesterday out there for us.
Well, anytime you're on the water, it's a good day. I'm gonna tell you, just anytime you're on the water, I like it, man.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm lucky. As soon as I get in the boat, I'm lucky. After that, if I catch fish, it just gets better.
Exactly. Well, it's like I went to those friends of mine yesterday, you know, and at one point, you know, I set the rod and rod holder, you know, and he's like, oh, you need another bait or anything? I said, no, I'm just going to sit here and relax a little bit. He goes, you're not going to fish? I said, no, I'm going to relax a little bit. I said, I'm enjoying this. I don't, you know, when I come out on the charter, I don't get to just do this, you know.
Right.
So I said, I'm just going to sit here and watch all a few minutes, you know. And you know, I'd already caught, you know, I think at that time a speckled trout, a couple of nice yellowmouth trout, and some jacks and ladyfish and stuff, you know. But it was kind of funny because, I mean, I just enjoy being out there, you know.
Did you slip cork those speckled trout? I said you were in 20 feet of water. Was it in the main river?
No,
did you
actually
cork float them? Or?
No, we actually put mullet on the bottom. And it'd sit on the bottom. Now, you get a redfish and nab that thing on the bottom, but it seemed like those trout wouldn't bite it until you kind of just moved it a little bit. You know, maybe it made that mullet get a little more active or whatever it did. But we had like probably 4 to 6 inch mullet, and you know, and they would get it. I mean, they would kind of, you could feel them hit it a couple of times. I mean, if you jerked it as soon as you felt them, you wouldn't get him. But we'd put them on the bottom there and just kind of, you know, move it around. But that showed me that some of these speckled trout are pretty deep. So if you float fish, you know, in deeper water, you know, that might work pretty good too.
Yeah, I just wondered, because I've heard some other folks lately say that they've been fishing in 20 feet of water for trout and doing pretty good.
Yeah, see, so I think maybe that, I don't know, maybe the water salinity is different down there, or I don't know, maybe, you know, because, I mean, you know, mullet is not usually that deep on the bottom. I mean, I've never read articles or anything to where, you know, of course, I've never been 20 foot deep in a river and, you know, where you were able to see mullet down there. But so just having, you know, the articles and stuff I've read, I mean, you know, your mullet's going to stay within 5 feet of the surface or so. So it's kind of strange to me. But maybe it was they were in there eating something else and they come across that mullet, it's a bigger bait, and they just had to have it.
Well, I think I'm going to give it a try, get the cork out. See what I can do.
I love cork fishing, like that slip float fishing in that deeper water. Yeah. I just love to watch that float go down.
Oh, it's super fun.
It is.
Well, I hear the music.
Well, Bill, I appreciate you calling, man.
Yeah, I'll get that recipe to you today.
Okay. All right. That'd be great. Yeah, I'm willing to try anything as long as it's not fried anymore.
All right, sir.
Got to stay away from that grease. All right, buddy. Go. Thanks a lot, Bill.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye. And Ted and Chris, if you can hold on, I'll get you on as soon as we come back.
Talk Radio, AM 610. AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Vice President Mike Pence campaigned in Las Vegas last night, his visit highlighting a fundraiser for a GOP gubernatorial candidate and also a veterans event with GOP Senator Dean Heller. Heller, the only Republican senator seeking re-election this year in a state that Democrat Hillary Clinton won back in 2016. He's made veterans issues the centerpiece of his campaign, as well as his time in Washington. Hiring picked up at a brisk pace in August. U.S. employers added a strong 201,000 jobs. It is seen as a sign of confidence that U.S. consumers and businesses plan to keep spending their money despite the Trump administration's conflicts with some U.S. trading partners and talks of a trade war with China. Rafael Nadal's aching knee pushed Juan Martín Del Potro into tomorrow's U.S. Open men's tennis final against Novak Djokovic. Nadal lasted only about 2 hours before he had to drop out. This is SRN News.
Good news. You are not stuck with your health care plan. Really. You have a choice, and it's a great one. It's called MediShare, and if you've heard about it and wondered what exactly it is, it's a way that people share their health care bills. And these are people who have a common faith, who want to be part of something beautiful that not only meets their healthcare needs, but the needs of others too. And it's people who love to save money big time. MediShare members typically save $500 a month per family on their healthcare costs. That is a life changer for people. So this could be for you. Maybe it's what you've been looking for, a way to pay healthcare bills that's not only very smart financially, but it's even profound. MediShare is a nonprofit with 400,000 members nationwide who pray for and share with each other. So yes, you're not stuck. There's another way, and it could save you a lot. Find out more. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Wednesday, September 12th, from 6 to 9 p.m., it's Music by the Sea at the St. Johns County Pier Pavilion at St. Augustine Beach. Thursday, September 13th, enjoy the Dierks Bentley Mountain High Tour 2018 at Daly's Place next to TIAA Bank Field in Jacksonville. And Friday, September 14th at 8 p.m., it's Moonlight Movies at the Jacksonville Beach Bandshell presenting Beauty and the Beast on the big screen.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Tico Sports presents the Spanish broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, don't miss any of the games of the Jaguars 2018 season on WBOB 101.1 FM and 600 AM. Listen to the broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars in Espanol.
This week, the Jacksonville Jaguars will begin their season receiving the New York Giants with the broadcast starting at 12:45. PM.
Don't miss all the action brought to you by Tico Sports with the voices of Javier Carrero and Victor Cora.
WBOB tackles the issues.
When I look at some of these mass shootings that have happened in the past, a lot of these teachers had to sacrifice themselves to protect their students. Well, why not put them in the best position to fight back?
Every day.
Federal district judge in California expanded the ruling to say that even accompanied children can't be held for more than 20 days. I don't see how they can unless Congress gets its act together and passes legislation.
WBOB, your 2018 election authority. The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Still some good driving around town, no delays except for the construction sites, which could have blocked lanes, so watch out for that. Got to be a little rain in the forecast, 30% chance at least through tonight, 50% chance starting about Sunday with daytime highs, about 91, overnight lows 75, and mostly cloudy skies, currently 77, AM 600, WBOB.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And I'm back this morning, and we got Ted and Chris on this morning. Good morning.
How's it going this morning?
Doing good. How about you?
All right. Doing great. Here you go.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I got both of you on the phone. That's pretty good.
Captain's got a got to keep his hand on the helm, so I got helm duty.
Oh, do you? So y'all going out this morning? You taking the soggy doggy out?
Yeah, we got the soggy doggy just right in the carport.
In the carport?
Oh, in the carport. The just right.
Oh, okay.
It ain't doing so right this morning. It wanted to come out here too. But we're heading out towards looking for some reds.
Hey.
And we got crab, we got fiddlers, we got mud minnows, we got
man.
Shrimp, dead shrimp, live shrimp.
Good gracious.
This is the soggy doggy buffet.
There you go.
Mortgage board here, that's for sure.
So you're going to head to the jetties?
Yeah, we was hoping to pull maybe a flounder out of there and that one other spot there where the bull reds, we didn't get any there the last time. We're going to try that again.
Oh, okay.
And maybe, yeah.
We got some spots. Yeah, I want to go do some R&D.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you. Hopefully you'll get on. Man, with that much bait out there, you ought to be able to get on something. You're going to, I guess with the fiddlers.
Get on something.
With the fiddlers, you're going to try the sheep.
And all that.
You can try the.
I haven't been seeing anybody post any big bull pictures lately.
Well, there's some in the river. They're up there around the little jetties, actually. And actually, I don't know how far you're out, but if you got crab this morning, you might want to stop there for just a little bit, unless you want to hit a particular tide at the jetties. But you get probably the good tide this morning at the little jetties. Because it.
All right. Well, that's where we're right here at Trout River, headed that way. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's look at the tide we have here. Today is the 8th, so you got a high tide at 8:02, so it's going to turn around up there about 9:30 or so.
That'd be good.
So, yeah, I mean, if you can get up there, you'll probably be, if you're at Trout River, you're probably 20 minutes away, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know how fast the soggy doggy runs, but get up there and, getting about, 30 anywhere from 34 36 feet of water, and
about 6 foot,
drop them down there. Be sure you keep that top shell on those crabs too.
Okay, we got it.
But there's some bull reds in there, and this would be the perfect tide this morning for them, actually.
Yeah, we're fixing to do some spankerage at the anchorage, bro.
Well, that sounds good. I got to go fishing a little bit yesterday, so that was good. I went with a friend.
You got? Oh yeah, I heard you say that earlier.
Yeah, I went with a friend of mine, and he wouldn't even let me tie a hook on or nothing. Man, it was I was like, man, I was on a charter. It felt so neat.
Oh, that's nice. You got chauffeured for a change.
So I sure did.
On the other foot. There we go.
Yeah, I didn't have to do anything but catch fish yesterday. That was pretty fun.
All right. That's a good deal.
Yeah. But
okay.
Well, if y'all gonna go out there,
we'll let you know if we do any good.
All right. And y'all are gonna try that little jetties first?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll call you when I get out of the show, see how y'all doing, and since you got fiddlers, I guess you're gonna go up there and try for some sheephead later?
Yeah, I'd like to. Yes, sir.
Good. Yeah, I'd like to know how they're biting out there at the rocks.
All right. The buffet, the floating buffet.
That sounds like it. I tell you, y'all got enough bait there to take care of just about everything.
So,
knowing Chris, he's probably going to go.
You got to be rigidly flexible with that fish.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Knowing Chris, he'd probably go out there.
We're pretty pathetic.
Oh no, y'all
got to come out of here with something with all that bait.
Yeah, y'all get them. I'm sure you'll get them. I'll give you a call a little bit and see what's going on. But I sure would like to know about the sheephead at the rocks, or if y'all see anybody else sheephead fishing too. Because right. I mean, I know the water temperature is not really as warm as it has been. You know, when I saw it. when I saw it day four yesterday, it was 84 degrees, which is, you know, I mean, right before I had that heart attack, it was like 86, 87, 88 degrees. So, you know, having that little bit down like that is good. But, you know, I'm just excited and waiting for the sheep head to start.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, we're headed up that way. We're going to give it a try.
All right. Good luck to y'all.
We're going to hammer down and get rolling.
All righty.
As long as we don't, hope we don't get swanked.
All righty. I'll see y'all soon.
No swankerage, just spankage.
There you go. How long does it take you to get from Arlington to the little jetties?
Well, when we're talking on the phone and idling along, it takes much longer, but
oh my God,
probably about maybe 30 minutes.
Well, let me let you go so you can get that thing powered up and on the plane and get up there.
She likes to run, brother.
All right, y'all take care.
Talk to you later. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah, that sounds good. Heading on out to get them. So, to me, I love to hear people say, oh, man, they're excited and they got that much different kind of bait. Whew.
Well, you know, Vic, I like to see the guys in the studio, but, you know, if they're on the boat having fun,
yeah,
why not?
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I always say the best time to go is when you can. I know that east wind's supposed to blow 5 to 10 knots today, but that's not near as much as it's been blowing this week, you know. And of course, when we say 10 knots, that's like 12 miles an hour. So that ain't too bad. But that's when we have that east wind, it's blowing like 15 to 20. Oh, that's a bad day on the water. It is so aggravating and trying to cast in that and all that stuff. But, we was talking earlier, of course, about some topwater plugs and things like that. You know, a lot of people don't realize that how long artificial lures have been used. Artificial lures have been used ever since ancient times. I mean, with different types of kind, with the Roman troops having, written about catching trout in the mountains with flies they learned from the locals, you know, in what's now called Serbia. But there's ancient photographs, or not photographs, ancient pictographs of the pharaohs sitting next to a fish tank and dipping a line in the water. More like fishing in a barrel. Of course, having the pharaohs doing that, they're going to, you know, keep the fish in and keep them hungry for him, make it easier. But they can't tell what kind of fish, of course, he's fishing with or what kind of a lure he's got. But anyway, they've got, you know, drawings of people doing, you know, of the pharaoh doing that. But anyway, what you want your lure to do is mimic a wounded fish. And I know I've taken people out there and they want to do topwater lures. They throw it out there and just reel the thing in looks like a little motorboat, you know, coming across the top of the water. But you want that thing to act, you know, or mimic a wounded fish, you know, or a wounded bait of some kind. And being fish are opportunistic feeders, they'll go after the easiest meal when they can find it. You know, if they see something that's, wounded or something like that, they'll go ahead and grab it, you know. I mean, if it's right there, then, you know, why not eat it? But since they don't have ears like we do, the fish we catch, you know, have hard, what they call bone balls, that float in chambers inside their heads, and they're positioned in roughly the same place as our ears are on the sides of the heads, but they're much more sensitive than ours. So everything in the fish's environment can rattle those floating vibration detectors. If you look at the long line on the side of a snook, you're looking at part of their hearing mechanisms, and that's just because of the line on the snook. You can see about where it comes up to their head. But they can hear also through the lateral line toward the front of the fish. So lures that make noise, you know, attract them. And I'd say more than half of the swimming lures we use, you know, where you find in the tackle shop, have little ball bearings inside, little rattles, stuff like that, to make noise, to create a rattle when you snap bait back and forth. So the topwater lure is obviously noisy as it splashes the surface, but even a jig bouncing on the bottom makes noise or vibrations, you know, that fish can feel or hear. So
you know, using lures like that is just a long time tradition of things. People didn't use them in salt water for a while there. We'll be back.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And I'm back this morning. Got Captain Pete on the line. Let's get morning, Captain. How you doing?
How you doing? What's happening, Captain?
Oh, I'm doing good now. How about you?
I'm hard at it this morning. I wanted to give you a call while I was listening to the show. Wishing my best.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. It's good to hear from you. You been doing okay?
Yeah, working my tail off as usual, but I did take some time and fished in your neighborhood last weekend.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Wish I could have seen you out there.
Yeah, it had a hard time of it, but we did real good. Caught a nice red first thing in the morning on topwater. That is the most exciting fishing I think I do right there.
It is. I tell you, reds or trout, either one. But I tell you, when those reds got to turn up and grab those topwaters, that's just, to me, that is so fun.
When I get that short strike, it gets my motor running like nothing else.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, the bite has been, you know, this summer so off and on for, you know, a couple of months there that
But now, I mean, I've heard a lot over the past couple of weeks that it's been doing really good. And, of course, I hadn't been on the water, you know, in 4 weeks, and just got back on the water this week. So, you know, it's I just haven't been out there in the midst of it to see what's going on. But, you know, people have been trying to keep me up on it.
I think that things are really going to change up with this new moon, flood tide, and that swell. That ought to push some salt water up in there.
I think so, too. I'm just excited about the change because we've had so much rain over this summer and all. It's just been so much fresh water in the river. I mean, I guess you probably saw it when you were out there, you know, this week again, too.
Yeah, in my neighborhood there, I'm launching the boat in the parking lot from some of those boat ramps in Putnam County.
Wow, man.
Yeah, they're still under a flood advisory in Astor. There's still a lot of fresh water that's going to come through.
Wow. It's just unbelievable. Yeah, and if we get this tropical storm get close to us, too, we're going to get a lot of rain from it, I'm afraid. But we've had so much rain. Let's see, how far south are you down there?
It's 60 miles by way of interstate. I don't know what it is in air miles.
Yeah. But, see, 60 miles, I mean, you're still, you know, you're in the midst of it. I mean, I was talking to, you know, the guys from live down there around Orlando and all, and they were talking about Lake Monroe is still high down there and all.
Oh, yeah. Sure enough, Crescent Lake's still high, Lake George. Yeah, there's a lot of fresh water in here.
Wow.
Hearing people talking about catching those channel cats there just north of the Danes Point, that's crazy. I've never heard that before.
Yeah. You know, there, I think it was probably 2 months ago, something like that, there was a report of somebody even caught like a 5 to 7 pound mudfish at the jetties one day. A freshwater mudfish. I mean, that shows you right there, it's getting flushed out of there like crazy. I'm surprised we're not, or people are not catching like stripers around Mill Cove or Clapboard Creek or Browns Creek, you know. I mean, because a lot of times those stripers, I mean, they're going to follow the bait. And if the bait comes out of there, you know, on that flow, you know, because the stripers usually, it's kind of weird how the stripers up in Chesapeake Bay are right there in the strictly salt water, you know, in the bay. But yet here, they're like south of the Fullerhorn Bridge.
I can't figure that one out. The only thing that comes to mind is something an old retired fisherman told me. Half tail will travel.
That's true. That's so true. Yeah. I know 1 year they caught a couple of them off of the Browns Creek Bridge. It was pretty, I mean, like 30-something inch stripers. That was pretty nice fish. But that's something we never see out there, you know, and like you say, in our neck of the woods out there. I mean, I don't even see them when I fish around, you know, Trout River, Exchange Island, places like that. I don't catch them there. It seems like
go ahead.
I was just going to say, it just seems like they stay south of the Fullerhorn Bridge for some reason.
Yeah, sure enough. I've been meaning to try the Buffalo Bluff Rail Bridge for them. That's a nice piece of bottom right there.
Yeah. Yep. Well, how's the boy doing?
Oh, my goodness. I've turned him into a fishing monster. I'm trying to throw a cast net right now.
Oh, wow. How old is he now?
He's about to be 6.
Good gracious. Man.
I took him out for fishing. I had to argue with the FWC that he actually caught that snapper. I held the rod for him, but he did all the work.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you what.
I wanted to start to thin out some of those snappers.
I tell you, man, just, you know, turning him into a fishing machine like that when he's young. I mean, that's the same thing my dad did. You know, I was probably 5 or 6 years old when he started me fishing. And golly, it's just, like you say, it just becomes a thing with him where he just falls in love with it. And, you know, usually, I think it was General Schwarzkopf one time said, you know, when you raise kids up doing, you know, outdoor things like that, hunting and fishing and all, that's, you don't have to worry about them much, you know.
That worked for me.
Yep, me too. I wasn't, I wasn't out there on, you know, Friday, Saturday nights. I was, you know, going to bed, getting ready to go fishing the next morning.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And he does the same thing. He is fired up. But if it doesn't rain, I'll take him out there in the river and we'll fish the sunset.
That's great. I can't believe he's almost six now.
I know. Time's moving like it's in a hurry.
Yeah, I know. It's I can't believe I'm as old as I am. I'll be 66 this year, and I'm like, wow. You know?
Yeah, I really need to clear my schedule and make some time so you and I can go fishing together.
That would be good, man. I've known you for several years and just haven't ever never been able to do that, you know?
Yeah, you remember our deal, though. I want to do whatever it is you want to do.
Well, you named it a while ago. Top Water is one of my favorites.
Oh, my goodness, yeah, nothing gets my motor running like that.
I know.
Those trout are getting so fired up some mornings, they'll knock that plug right out of the water.
Oh, I know. And, you know, that always amazed me, too, how you can have a fish, you know, when you got either six or nine hooks on it. Usually top water, you got six hooks on that thing, and they knock it 2 feet out of the water and not get hooked. I mean, how do they do that? I hooked myself trying to tie it on the line. You know, and I got two hands and watching what I'm doing. You know,
I can't figure that one out. That hook can catch everything but a fish sometimes, for sure.
I know. I mean, if you ain't careful in the boat, I mean, you know, you hook the side of the boat. I mean, you just get it close to an anchor rope. Oh my goodness, you know. But that fish can just hit it like that and hit it hard too, and just not get hooked. It just always amazed me.
My wife talked me into buying a puppy, a German Shepherd, and sure enough, he found one of those lures and grabbed a hold of it, got hooked in the mouth. I was trying to de-hook it, and I got hooked to the other end of the lure, so the dog and I were hooked up. That was fun.
Oh, man. How bad did it get hooked?
It drove one hook into my finger all the way to the bone, and he got hooked in the cheek. It's just a matter of holding the dog still long enough to cut that hook.
Oh, I can imagine. Just makes me cringe when you hear stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, I know it's radio, but I got to tell you, a little bit of pee came out.
Yeah, I tell you what, I've been hooked so many times by people on board the boat. It ain't funny, not to mention the ones the fish get me, you know, trying to get a fish off the line. He shakes when you get those lures, you know, lures on. But just trying to, you know, trying to be easy with it like that. But, boy, I'm telling you what, they'll drive it in you before you know it.
Well, I hear the music, man. I sure appreciate you, Captain Vic, and I'll catch him up here.
All right, and thanks for calling, Pete. It was great to hear from you, man. Hadn't heard from you in a while, so look forward to the next time I get to hear from you.
Usually checking my
eyelids
for leaks this time
Saturday morning. All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate you calling so much.
All right, y'all take care of you.
You too. And I appreciate everybody calling this morning and, you know, appreciate the information and all. You know, I was talking about how, you know, the people have been so kind to me, you know, during my time I've been off work and everything. And I just want to remind everybody, you know, what we do for ourselves usually dies with us, but what we do for others and the world remains and is immortal. So you'll always think about it, and people will always know about it. Thanks. See you next week.